that by doing well you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We come now to traditionalist problems which are actually affecting the process of recouping the tradition. Now, I just want to make it clear, I'm not singling anybody out here. I don't have in mind anybody particularly here, but these are just general problems that you see pretty much across the board in almost every traditionalist apostolate. I just want people to be aware of that these are the kinds of problems that we're up against and why it's actually causing damage to the traditional movement and why the tradition isn't being recouped as quickly. I could start out by saying there's a whole list of problems that we suffer from. Part of it's because of human beings that suffer under the effects of original sin. But there's particular problems that I think really need to be addressed because they are rather grave, actually, and they're affecting people quite a bit. The first has to do with the fact that the traditionalist movement is slowly becoming a Gnostic movement among some. And by Gnostic, we mean that they think that only they have this secret knowledge that nobody else seems to have or get, and somehow there's something special about them because they get it and these other people don't. And how do we know it's becoming Gnostic? Because they're constantly looking down and bad-mouthing everybody who goes to the new mass and things of that sort. Somehow or another, they're special. But there's a darker side to this Gnostic aspect. I mean, aside from the fact that it's rooted in pride, and it's rooted in it's haughty, and it's presumptuous because they presume that it's on their side and not on the grace of God that they can do these things. But there's a dark side. Every Gnostic movement always suffers from grave problems of impurity, and so is the traditionalist movement. This is a serious, serious problem. I'm not saying this as my own perception, although it is true that I noticed this some time ago. This is something that traditional priests are starting to discuss because it's becoming a serious problem. Why is this? Well, it's pride. Pride is the vice in which a person judges himself greater than he is. So what does God do? He allows you to lapse into the lowest, basest, vulgarest forms of sins in order to lower your estimation of yourself. That's why he allows it. Well, what's happening is because the traditionalists are so proud, they're really falling into serious problems regarding the sixth commandment, and it's across the board. The second problem this is resulting in is it's becoming a generational spirit. What's a generational spirit? It's one in which if parents commit particular kinds of sins, they open the door to demons inserting themselves into their family life, and it gets passed from generation to generation. Now, my own estimation of this is that the generational spirit is pride, but it's also becoming a generational spirit of impurity because you're seeing it almost, it's across the board, where the parents had a problem with the impurity, they haven't gotten it under control, or they've never done anything to undo the generational spirit of impurity in their family or in spirit of pride, and it's getting passed from generation to generation. What's this mean? It means that kids that are coming up who are normally good kids, who are doing what they normally do, okay, they might be disobedient here or there, what have you, but they're getting to be 10, 11, 12 years of age, and they're seriously struggling with impurity when they shouldn't be. There's nothing in the family, in the externals of the family life. But then you find out, you know, the father has a problem with pornography or self-abuse, or they're doing other things or what have you. And this is where it's becoming a serious problem. And if you look at the number of sins against the sixth commandment, sins like self-abuse, pornography, fornication among traditionalists, they are not any better than the people who go to the new mass. In fact, there's some estimates by some priests that it's worse than is among the new rite people. This is a serious problem. It's going to drag us down. Why? Because if we're not careful, we're going to end up suffering what St. Paul says, which was, and God gave them over to their lusts, and they started sleeping men with men and women with women. It's already happening among the youth of the traditional movement. because of this generational spirit. If parents don't want this problem among their children, they've got to get their act together. And if they've started stuff in the past, they've got to get this generational line straightened out and cleaned up. Then there's also another Gnostic side to the traditional movement, and that is this isolationist attitude in relationship to the world. Now, the world can have a variety of different meanings. You don't leave the world because it's bad. You don't try and avoid aspects of the world because it's bad. You try to avoid aspects of the world principally because it's good. But Gnostics always view everything in the world as bad, and this is how traditionalists are becoming. This has never been part of the tradition, that is this isolationist mentality, the circle of the wagons, everyone's got to hide and keep away from, I can't let my kids talk to anybody whatsoever until they're 25, maybe 30 years of age, if then. This has never been part of the Catholic religion, to be an isolationist, shunning people and that kind of thing. This, and why? Well, because how are you going to evangelize people? How are you honestly going to attract people to Mass here if you look at them and you're not going to attract people? Why? Because there's natural human psychology. People aren't going to go to some place where they know people are looking down on them. And this isolationist attitude, the isolation only occurred in monasteries, and only certain kinds of monasteries. But this was to devote themselves full-time to God. Catholic families are not in that position. They're supposed to be in the world, not of it. Traditionalists don't want anything to do with the world whatsoever. That's not their role. Their role is to transform the world by being good and holy people in the world. That's their function. Yes, the world is bad. But many traditionalists deny their children legitimate things because of the fact that it's an exaggeration, it's an excess. So what happens? Well, you're ending up with the same kind of phenomenon that you're seeing among Amish. The kids end up just bolting from the traditional movement because they just can't stand the fact that things that are perfectly okay are being denied from them entirely. And so we're having attrition rates among them. Plus, there are other problems that the traditional movement has. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of the traditional movement. I wouldn't be standing here before you if it wasn't the case. But I'm just saying these are problems that are affecting the recouping of the tradition on the side of people outside of the tradition. Why? If you're not holy, if we're not holy, we're not meriting the grace for the people outside the traditional movement to see the value of the tradition. So what's the moral of the story? We're dragging the rest of the church down. That's what it boils down to. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. There's no mean. It's called the principle of the excluded middle. So either you're going to be working holy and by the merits of your works, you're going to be helping the rest of the church, or you're going to be dragging everyone else down. It's part of the mystical body of Christ. It's a unified body. What are some of the other problems? Well, becoming depressed. They sit and they'll mull over and over, and by the way, I'm saying this over and over again so you get the point, how bad everything is in the church. Okay, yes, it's bad, but it's leading to despair. We may see how bad everything is, and then we judge everything to excess. You know, there's no hope. The church is never going to recover. Things are always going to be bad. You know, the Novus Ordo is invalid. There's no hope. You know, you just go on and on and on. And then there's also the problem of allowing the anger to consume our life in the view of the church. A lot of people suffer who've come to the traditional movement, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, you have to bury the hatchet and forgive people. We cannot allow the problems of the church to affect our spiritual lives. Doesn't matter if someone's put the knife in your back. It doesn't matter how bad things are. If it's starting to affect your spiritual life, you have to get your mind off it. And this means that we have to have a detachment even from the idea of a healthy church, even though that is what we must strive for. We must be detached from any vindication from those who harmed us, because anger is a real problem among traditionalists. We have to be sure that the problems in the church do not affect our charity. And we have to stop detracting against the magisterium. Okay, why? Because in the end, it destroys people's ability to the virtue of piety. How are you going to expect people to want to submit themselves to Christ's legitimate authority handed on through the magisterium if you're constantly running down the bishops and the priests and the pope and things of that sort? You should never say anything against somebody unless it's necessary. That is, and by necessary, it's necessary for that person's spiritual life or their physical well-being, what have you. It's just, don't exaggerate it. And it's charitable. What does that mean? It means that it proceeds from a desire for people's spiritual well-being and for the love of God, not because you're mad and angry and want to hack at people. This negative attitude towards the magisterium is one of the reasons why the magisterium has been so slow to give us anything. Because people have had such a negative attitude, they're just like, well, we have to be careful with what we're giving these people because, you know, they're going to end up biting the hand that feeds them. Then, they allow their, in connection to this piety, they allow the filial of devotion to the office of the papacy to wane. That is, not making proper distinctions between the man and the office. It doesn't matter what the man does. The fact of the matter is we must be faithful and loyal to the office. Very often you see trads disrespecting authority, and then trads wonder why. Traditionalist parents will badmouth a pope, or they'll badmouth, you know, some priest or something, and then they wonder why the children have no respect for their parents. Excuse me, but grace flows downhill. If you want your children to have the grace to be obedient and respectful of you, you have to be obedient and respectful of those above you. Giving into the vice of curiosity by reading literature, which affects our faith or affect us psychologically or spiritually, is another problem you see among trads. And this is something that's clearly demonic because of the fact that it drives people to spend large amounts of time reading every last stitch of literature on how bad everything is. We have an obligation to protect our faith, and sometimes that even means avoiding people who tell us the truth, for which we are unprepared psychologically, spiritually, or intellectually. If reading this stuff drags you down, you've got to get away from it and stop reading it. We ought to be aware of the problems in the church, but you don't read too much for that. You know, it seems like there's a new book every week almost, or there's some new article on how bad everything is. People say, Father, have you read this? Father, have you read that? And I'm just like, you know, I've seen it all. I don't need to read it to know it. You ask them, you know, when was the last time you read a book on the saints? Well, I find that literature boring or difficult. You know, when was the last time you did any spiritual reading? Well, you know, but by the way, have you read this last book coming out? Oh yeah, I've read that 3 times already. I loved that book. You know, well, what's that mean about your spiritual life? Engaging in argumentation when they are intellectually unprepared out of a desire to defend what they think is true. This is a serious problem. I've read so much literature by traditionalists that has theological error in it because they raced in where they were unprepared to defend. In fact, if you really want to follow the tradition was, until recently, that lay people were forbidden to engage in public debate regarding theological and philosophical matters unless they had permission from the local bishop. But today, now granted, part of the reason that they got involved in it is because of the fact that the magisterium, many of the members of the magisterium were failing in their jobs. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden that you race in when you're unprepared. We should rather ask someone with a proper background to defend the truth if necessary. We have to be sure that what we do that we're not always trying to seek to beat up on people. Again, this is part of the whole anger. It's true that the state of the church is bad, but that doesn't mean that when you see people doing something wrong or something, you beat up on them. We must accept that people aren't going to get it. They're just not going to get it because they don't have the grace. You cannot see the value of the tradition without grace. That means that because grace is gratuitous, you didn't merit it. You're here because God chose you, not because somehow you think you're special. The same thing applies to these other people. He wants us to merit the grace for them. How are we going to do this if our spiritual lives aren't in order because we're angry, we're impure, we're this, we're that? If we're not getting our act together spiritually, the traditional movement, the tradition itself, will never get off the ground. Now, Granted, God will always raise saints to make sure the tradition is passed. But we'll be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Just because you see the problems and you have the grace to see the problems does not give you license to abuse both the grace that you've received. It's an abuse of the grace to beat up on people because they don't see the tradition. But also, it's an abuse of other people. It doesn't give you the right to abuse other people. And so what does this all mean? Trads, in my experience, tend to drive more away than they attract very often. And this means that we have to do some serious self-reflecting about how we're behaving in relationship to other people to make sure that they are able to see the value of the tradition. And the only way they're going to see the value is if they see that we're different from everybody else. If we're shopping on Sundays, if we're committing acts of impurity, if we're cussing and use vulgarity and profanity, if we're behaving the exact same way, if we suffer from the same worldliness that everybody else does, how do you expect them to see the value of the tradition? They're going to look at it and say, you're no different. It obviously provides you nothing more than the rest of the religions or even of the Novus Ordo. And what does this mean? Well, that's not true. That's a false conclusion. It just means that we haven't gotten our acts together. We cannot place the entire onus, by that we mean burden, of coming to the tradition on others. It is our responsibility to make sure that we do what we can to attract people and lead them to the tradition. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.